99.3 Nigeria Info, the sunny side. Welcome. The sun rises here. The weather is something, something remarkable. I love it. Oh, and yes, to you. Thank you. You say we are the best radio station? We believe you. And congratulations to Nigeria Info and, of course, to her. Listeners of refined ears and appetite for information, entertainment, yeah, knowledge, conversation, music. Thank you. You all deserve this moment with us because it's happened with you and us in a moment in time. We're happy about this recognition, and we want to say we equally recognize you for being a part of this historic moment in our lives. And to celebrate that, next week, Monday, I'll give 20,000 each to three people. And I'm going to come up with something almost trivial so that three people can get a half 20,000 naira each, courtesy Nigeria Info. We want to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You love what we do, and we'll keep doing what we know how best to do. My name's Joyce. Welcome to Confessions Thursday. We begin in about a minute from now. When you call in, remember you don't say your name. And it could be tragedy. Well, I'm hoping it's not tragic. But we're down for whatever, really. On Confessions Thursday, it's just about anything. Whether it's tragic, whether it's crazy, whether it's comical, whether it's fantasy, whether it's thriller, whether it's action, whether it's horror, whether it's rom-com, whether it's of the past, the present, or maybe the confusion of the future, whether you know it, whether you don't know it, clear, not clear, sad, regretful, hurt, vengeful, disappointed, confused, all on Confessions Thursday. We hear you out. Tell the story of your life in that particular situation that you'd like to talk about, you want someone else to hear, or you want people to give you an advice and pretty much what to do, or maybe how best to get out of a situation. 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190. Beautiful Thursday afternoon to you. So our first hour and a half, it's dedicated to Confessions Thursday. After that, the Lords of Logic. Today on the Lords of Logic, I have something that I find specifically fascinating. It's a biblical philosophy, and I do not think it's biblical because it, though, might have its root in religious philosophy. It is more now of social implications. Today on the Lords of Logic, there's a quote that we would have to, one, figure out if we properly comprehend, because it's not obvious that by hearing it firsthand, the understanding is made obvious to you. And the phrase is, if you lose your life, you gain it. And if you gain your life, you lose it. Well, you can Google it. You can look it through and think about it. So when it's time for us to discuss on the Lords of Logic, we want to find out what it would mean, or what the phrase means, that it is possible for you to lose your life in your bid to find it. It does quite maybe appear initially confusing, except there's some understanding to it and you hold it. So come time for the Lords of Logic, you come through with what you know to be depth, comprehension, logic, dialectic, intellect, reason. Yeah, on the Lords of Logic. In the meantime, once again, remember, it's first Confessions Thursday and then the Lords of Logic. My name's Joyce. Welcome to radio.
On Confessions Thursday, we open the cupboards to secrets.
Is that a skeleton I see?
Child, bite your tongue. Well, they say good walls make good neighbors.
Wait, you mean gist, right?
Confessions Thursday with Joyce on Nigeria Info. Nigeria Info.
Rest assured, the walls around here have no ears. It's Confessions Thursday. When you're calling, you don't say your name. Do me the favor, turn up the volume of your radio set. Yeah? Let's begin. Nigeria Info. Hello. It's noisy. Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. It's Confessions Thursday. Okay, no, I'm sorry. It's not going to work because I doubt I can sit through that. Please find a quiet space and call back, I beg you. Please. Nigeria Info, Confessions Thursday. The volume of your radio set.
Sorry.
Done it? All right, you haven't. 0700-993-993-993-01465-7190. Remember, it is duty to turn off the volume of your radio set. Yes, duty. Confessions Thursday. Welcome to Nigeria Info. Remember the volume of your radio set. You do not say your name. And 01465-7190, Nigeria Info. Hello? Hello, good afternoon to you. Welcome to Nigeria Info, if you can hear me. Hello, can you hear me? I can't hear you, so you're going to have to please hang up and call back. Can you hear me?
Hello, Joyce.
Yes. Good afternoon.
Can you hear me now?
I can. It's Confessions Thursday.
Yeah, I have a confession to make.
Let's go.
Hello, Joyce.
I'm with you. I can hear you. I hope you can hear me.
Okay. The confession is all about... I've called you once before.
Okay.
When I was telling you about my girlfriend, I said she's a virgin. Yeah, are you with me, Joyce?
I'm with you, but I don't think I remember. I remember the story. I don't.
I told you that I was with my ex-girlfriend, so the other one came in, met us together. So she got angry and she left. So I later went out to apologize.
Okay.
Then I don't know if you remember. I think I actually wanted to explain the actual thing right now.
Okay, so let's see if the summary is this. You had a girlfriend, she was a virgin, so I guess you guys had a pact for no sexual intercourse, right?
Yeah.
And then you cheated on her. She caught you cheating.
Yes.
All right, that's a good baseline. Let's go.
So you asked me to choose what I wanted, so I decided to go for her. I stuck to her since last year, December. Although we've been dating for a year. So, but we didn't, he asked me not to touch her because he has not been touched before. So, right now, I think last 2 weeks ago, she was certified that she's ready. So we got together. Before I did anything with her, I took her to a gynecologist, I took her to a pharmacist, just for counseling and some other stuff. So at the end of the day, she put me through a lot of stress for almost 1 week, trying to, as they always say, even though it's wrong, make her a woman.
wait, don't repeat that. You know it's wrong. So why would you say the things that are wrong?
She said it by herself, though.
Yeah, but
I have to correct her.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
don't say that.
But at the end of the day, after everything, I found out that she wasn't.
Okay.
As in, since that day, although immediately the light was switched off, I've just been cautious, just looking at my reaction, at my countenance. But at the end of the day, when I discovered that nothing like blood, nothing like the other penetration was kind of tight from the beginning, but after everything was just free.
So now your situation is you think she wasn't a virgin?
At all, not at all.
So what's the problem now?
The problem is since then, the love that is like almost 150% before, has dropped to like maybe 25%.
Let's get something straight. One, you didn't love her. Remember, you cheated on her, right? And she forgave you. So maybe this is your turn to return a favor.
But the thing is, now I see I love everything about her. Even I didn't mean she has been truthful with me from onset. So I love everything about her. I won't know. Even if she says I'm not ready to, don't touch me, I'm not ready for it, I would still have gone ahead with her. But what happened was, I don't know how to take it off my mind, how to trust her again.
Yeah, but she had to trust you and give you a second chance. That must count for something.
The thing right now, I wanted to confront her. I wanted to say, why do you lie to me?
But someone sent me a message saying that not all virgins bleed upon penetration. For the sake of all that God is, why are you bothered about this? Why do you want blood? Why? What does that mean to you? Does it dignify you? Is it a form of worth, value to you? Like, what is it?
Okay, let me come out straight. I've had the experience before, like 4 years ago. So with someone that I've never been touched, and I eventually did it. So I even that must have been my second time with someone like that. So I already have. I know how it is.
What would this do for you? So I'm here out of curiosity.
It won't do anything.
Okay.
No one is ready to get married to a chase or a venue to at the end of the day.
Oh.
But the thing is, why do you have to put me through that stress?
Hold on a second. Someone said not all virgins bleed. That's one message I have here.
I know. Even if you ride a bicycle, if you ride a horse, I have all this kind of experience. I know, but I know what I saw. I know what I felt. I know how it went.
Good.
I know how to enjoy the whole thing.
Okay, so now you want another virgin? Maybe we're experimenting here.
No. The issue I have, I don't know how to have the courage to challenge.
Why don't you want to? So if you agree that some virgins don't bleed upon penetration, why is this still a conversation? What if she's one of them? Okay.
No, I want
to. So you think she's left other people?
I don't want to.
Then ask her.
I want to know if she knew.
Ask
but she
her.
Just wanted to tell me.
Okay. Yeah? Wow.
So I believe that she wasn't. I want to ask her.
Do you not
are
have
you truly?
Wait. Do you not have loftier ideas? Aren't there things that call your soul to wonder, to beauty, to miracles? How is it that you're choosing to bother yourself about virginity and blood? It's not like you say it doesn't honor you, it doesn't.
This is the trust.
So then maybe you should have a conversation. There's nothing wrong with having a conversation. But then again, my curiosity is the way you are going to have that conversation, because you want to make it sound important. If you cheated on her and she forgave you, you should be more than willing to forgive her before you start the conversation.
To be honest, I'm ready. 110% for you.
All right, good. So ask her nicely.
But I just want honesty. I'm just waiting. But if she lied, I'm not sure I can go ahead.
So what is lie going to be in this context?
The lie would be still existing, that she was.
So in your mind, you have concluded that she is not a virgin. So if she told you she was, you would conclude she's lying. Then break up with her. You're not good for her. And you're not even good for the next virgin, by the way. But yeah, let's wait until
I'm not looking for
a virgin.
I just want someone that is trustworthy.
Cheated on her, I think I think the best you can get is the best that you've given. You can't be asking for trust if you haven't given it.
It's fair because I've cheated on her. She's ready to go. I'm ready to let her go.
Yeah. You should let
her. I'm ready to accept all responsibility.
All right, good.
But right now, if I just want her to be honest because I'm
yeah, but you see, the problem is you have determined what honesty is, so there's no trust. You have already determined that what honesty is she must come out to say to you, I am a virgin. So here, you're not even willing to hear her side. You have determined her side. That's a problem, and I want you to understand why that is a problem.
But she wasn't. She wasn't.
Did she tell you she wasn't?
She said she is.
She told you she is, right? So now we have agreed you should have a conversation with her. But you are going there with a preconceived notion already.
Yeah, because I was the one that did I did it.
So Carl Jung says because people can't think, they judge. It seems as though you have difficulty with allowing yourself to discover the truth. You are more willing to judge a situation before you determine truth. And you're not good for yourself. And let me even explain that to you. If assuming she says, I'm a virgin, and maybe she truly is, but you have a preconceived notion already, what does that say about your trust level?
No, I've trusted her for a year. She said yes. So I agreed. It's not as if I'm looking.
All right,
I wasn't looking for
something like
that. But the thing is, for it to have kept me waiting for that, and when I did it, it was all true. It was like an express. So,
all right. Well, good luck. Good luck with whatever.
That will happen.
All right.
When I had the conversation with her, she said she just.
All right.
She said she's afraid of getting pregnant, and she wanted to finish her school.
You know what?
Let me tell you.
You don't trust her. She don't trust. I hope she doesn't trust you too. Let this relationship end. There's nothing here. There's absolutely nothing. Let it go. There's nothing here.
Voila.
Yeah. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let it go. It's not worth it. Even me hearing it, and I don't even know either of you. I'm already stretched. Let it go. Seek loftier ambitions, like have other things that draw you to the unknown. They're higher things that you probably would never know. So how about you try to find out the things that are hidden beneath the sun? Then this thing, like God, that's a problem? Hello, Confessions Thursday.
Hello, good afternoon, Jess.
Afternoon to you. Welcome.
I don't have a confession.
You have 1 minute.
So I listened to the guy called. So the fact is that the guy never loved the girl. He's just waiting all this year for just that day that he opened that red key. And he eventually didn't see it. So there's nothing you tell him now that will make him to stay with the girl. That is just it. He never loved the girl from inception.
Thank you
like
very much.
Like this place is like a desert. It doesn't matter anything. He's just waiting for...
Nigeria. Welcome to Confessions Thursday. My name's Joyce. Remember, when you're calling, you don't say your name. Hello. Make it back. The Sunny Side, Nigeria Info. My name's Joyce. Don't say your name.
Hello, Joyce. Good afternoon.
Afternoon to you. Thank you for calling.
Yes.
You have a confession, right? I don't have time.
Yes,
let's run.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
What's your confession?
Yes. Joyce, I'm facing a series of problems.
Series of problems. You're going to need to meet Jesus at the cross. I don't know why
That's where I'm heading to now.
All right.
I'm already at the door. It's just open for me to enter.
How bad is it?
Yeah, it's not easy. I'm just standing there since yesterday. I don't know whether it will be possible for me to enter or not. I don't know. But the confession is this, Joyce. I married over 23 years ago now. Mm-hmm. I married my wife when I was young, about 17, 18 years, in that age by then. She's a virgin by then.
Oh,
I did virgin her.
Oh, God.
So now it's like her eyes opened after we got 4 children. 5, 1 is late. But now it's like my wife has gone crazy. Looking after other means.
Oh.
And this thing has become a problem to me in my home now. I don't know how to control it. Because every day fighting, quarreling, telling me all kind of stories that she has never told me before. So I was wondering, what really going wrong with her? Anytime I ask her, she will start telling me, you just turn it off. So now I'm confused. I don't know what to do. And before this time, me and their families, both mother, both brothers, we have a crash that separated us. I decided not to call them, not to even discuss any issue with them again. Mm-hmm. And now this thing is happening now. I don't know who to go to.
No, but I think you need to understand the problem first. Like, I don't think you should be running to people.
That's what I'm telling you. I'm suspecting that maybe she has come in contact with other men.
Yeah, but so you said something. You say you don't know how to control it. It's not for you to control. You can't control other. You cannot control a person who has been given free will. A person has a choice to choose.
So what do I do?
Well, first of all, you must consider whether she's tired of you. That could be one of it. And find out whether there's something you're not doing that could make your marriage better. And be open to all the probabilities.
But the children are grown up. My first son is 22 years. My daughter is 21.
What does that mean? If you say your children are grown,
so,
what does that mean?
For me to be, I don't know why I'm feeling what I'm feeling. Because when I look at the children, I say this thing can cause the children to start behaving funny or something that they're not supposed to.
That's
do.
A
they
start doing it because
the children is always with their mother. And it's her word they're listening to, not my own.
Oh, so first of all, I don't think you can hold on to someone who doesn't want to be with you. I would ask you not to even bother. If they're sure that they don't want to be with you, then I don't see why you're trying to hold on to them. So first, your kids are grown, and this is probably about the best time for whatever needs to happen to happen. Because they're grown, my assumption is that they can think for themselves, they can reason, and if you both tell them you're part of the story, they have a duty to make of it what they can. You just have to be honest and make sure that anything you and your wife decide to do, whether it's go or stay, you take the children into consideration. I don't think that the children are enough reason for you to remain in an abusive union. And no, you can't control her. Stop trying.
Okay, that's what I'm thinking, Joyce, is this. I have 3 girls. What would be their condition?
Well, how much of a father are you? Do the best that you can. That's it. Okay. What else can a man do but the best that he can? Do the best you can. That's it.
Okay.
But if your wife don't want to be with you because she thinks there's a better guy out there for her, she might have a point. I mean, she might be wrong. But whatever she chooses, you can't be trying to stop her from looking at men.
And that is true. That is true.
You know, you can't. If she really wants to be, if she's done with you, she's done. I think you have to come to accept that maybe she's no longer interested in you. But then I want for you to try, see whether there's a way you can mend the union. Ask her what you can do to mend it. If she says, no, there's really nothing you can do because I'm done with you, then she's done with you. Then amicably, you can separate. It doesn't have to be a fight. Amicably, you can say, okay, so we're going to have to separate then, right? You're ready for that? Then she'll say yes, and then gradually you separate. I think it's not as hard.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what I'm going to do.
I don't know if you have another option.
No. I think it's right.
All right.
You are right with what you said, because I'm tired of quarreling and people coming to judge me for my age. I don't like person coming and staying inside my room and be telling me, do you do as if I'm a baby that I don't know what to do or I don't know how to control myself. So I hate that. That is what I hate. And I don't want it again.
Find the courage.
I'm older than that.
Okay, yes. So find the courage to do the best that you can in every situation.
Thank you very much.
Sure, my pleasure. Nigeria Info. It's Confessions Thursday. Welcome.
Hello.
The volume of your radio set.
Enjoy.
Afternoon to you. You have a confession?
Yeah. Sorry. I'm listening to the gap. Not that I have a confession, but I just want to add one or two things to what you told the last caller now. I think the last caller, can I go on?
10 seconds is gone already.
Okay. Sorry. Now, the man should, number one, change his perception about the wife. the wife she married at the age of 17 is not the woman now. If a first child is about 20-something, add it to the age of the woman, about 30, 40 years old. So you don't expect her to be reasoning and behaving the same way you married her 17 years ago. She's now an adult. You married a girl, but now you're living with an adult. And so the control, the bully, the leadership is no more there. It's not a partner. So what she can accept when she was 17 years, don't expect her to accept it now. Number two, if the children are more close to the wife than he's not been there. He's not a father yet. He's the boss of the house. So he needs to change his leadership style. One is you see the woman as a wife and not a girl, not a small child he married at 17 years, and relate to her as a mature adult, a wife, a partner.
All right.
Number two is that you should be a father to
Thank
the
you.
Children and not be a ruler in the house. Thank you.
All right. We're about a few seconds, actually 30 seconds exactly from a commercial break. So we'll go off on a break and then we'll come back and we'll continue the conversation on Confessions Thursday. You're listening to Nigeria Info. My name's Joyce. Night 9.3 Nigeria Info, the Sunny Side. So I have a message here and I'd like to read it. Please tell the guy that's seeking or seeing blood for the first time. No, tell the guy that's not seeing blood for the first time. Doesn't mean she wasn't a virgin. Same happened to me. I never saw blood too. Okay, so this is split two ways in my head. One way, we're talking about virgins and your expectations of virgins. Can she have an expectation of your own virginity? Because here, where the narrative is going one way, it's like the man expects blood from the woman. So psychologically, there's something arrogant about that. There's something hubristic about that. I don't know that you have the right to demand that of anybody, but I can't believe that there's someone who's making a conversation out of that. And maybe I have to just tell myself that, hey, it's just a conversation of his expectation. And I wonder, can she demand the same of you? Because this whole thing, it seems just, it's tilted. It's, if you are not a virgin, what rights do you have to think that you deserve? So here, let's even begin from you thinking that you deserve it. Because it would mean that you think you can make the rules for other people, a rule that you will fall short by. So if you fall short by that, don't you think it's arrogant of you to expect it from somebody else? It can't be just me. Like, I'm sure I'm not the only person who feels this way. Because I think that many times we get so blinded by maybe expectations that we realize that we're giving people or setting standards for people that we ourselves don't meet. And how you don't see that to be a fundamental problem in the structure of your own human reality is another problem. Confessions Thursday, 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190. Confessions Thursday.
To Confessions Thursday with Joyce on the Sunny Side.
Okay, so about a minute before we touch down, 1 p.m. on the clock, to bring to your hearing the news update, and Vaughn steps in magnificently. All right. Someone says mere self-gratification. Well, I'm not even sure. I want to read a message before break. Joyce, good afternoon. Please leave the guy. So it's his life problem, looking for virgins. Is he a babalawo? Just love her. Okay. Because he just love her. Oh, he just loves her because she's a virgin. That's Timo from Ijegun. Yeah, it's Confessions Thursday. I think you all hold the element of a surprise. Every time I come here, you surprise me with something. All right. The conversation continues on the other side of one. Nigeria Info, I'll be back. Confessions Thursday, 99.3 Nigeria Info, 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190. Welcome to the show. And if you have just tuned in, it's Confessions Thursday on Nigeria Info. It's 4 minutes past 1 p.m. Good afternoon to you. It's Confessions Thursday. Remember, you do not say your name, and do us the favor of the volume of your radio set.
That's what I'm trying to do. Good afternoon, Joyce.
Afternoon to you. Thank you for calling. Do you have a confession?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I called you some time ago, two or three days ago. I used France, I told you.
You're the guy who's on the terrorist list?
Yes, kind of.
No. You are or you're not?
I'm not, but let me go into it.
Thank
Actually,
you.
What happened is this. I've been receiving the treatment given to terrorists for the past 5 years.
From the French government?
From the French government.
Oh, hold on a second. Let's just quickly recap your story, okay?
Yes, okay.
Lagos, Nigeria, this was a caller that called in, I think it was Wednesday this week. He told us a story when we discussed a sense of entitlement. He told us a story of a situation where a family member felt entitled to something that another sibling did for a sibling. And then he had his own personal story, which I believed was a confession, and I told him to call on Thursday. And the story is that his boss in France, where he used to live, wrote his name or submitted his name on a terrorist list to the French government. So he's on the line right now to tell us exactly what's happening with him. Thank you. Go ahead.
Thank you. First of all, congratulations for your nomination, for your award.
Thank you.
I'm not surprised, even if I'm just, I've been listening to your station just for the past going to a year now.
Okay.
So I can understand the people that gave you that award. I could see what they see in I can see what they see in your content.
Oh.
And that's why I've been listening to the show, actually.
Thank
to the,
you.
To the radio. It's my preferred radio in Lagos.
Thank you.
So, actually, what happened is this. Spending years, I did my university level in France. I've been living there for the past 31 years. Then I started working. It got to a point, like in France, when you get to a certain age, like as from 40 years, you hardly get a job. For the citizens, talk less of foreigners. And as a foreigner, I went through that process so that at the point in time I had to eat. And I just decided I have to just get a job, not a job that goes in line with my studies. So I happened to be enrolled in a school, a secondary technical school, something like that. So I was there and I had a problem with one of my chiefs who one day, and the origin of the problem was that the cleaner of the classrooms and the school compound was on a sick leave. And couldn't do the job for about 3 days. And being at my office, we have two orgasms. So I'm being the first to arrive every month, every day. So I got to the office that day on Monday. I saw the office dirty. I just felt too much. I cannot work in this environment, and I guess nobody would be able to work in this environment. What I just did was go out of the office, get a broom, and I started sweeping. And as I was sweeping, my first chief came in. He saw me sweeping against something. Then later, very close to the beginning of the classes, my second chief came in. She's a woman. She came in, she saw me, and being she's this type of person that does things at the last minute, she saw me. I think she had some documents to give to the principal that morning, and she just shouted on me, look, why is it you that is sweeping the floors? Leave what you are doing and go and do me some photocopies. I was like, look, you don't need, and for the first time, that's the habit in the office, though. I've reported that to the principal once. And when she did that morning, I told her, look, you don't need to talk to me this way. At least I'm sweeping the office that we need to, we are going to work in. So let me finish the sweeping, then I'll go and do your photocopies. And that's what I did. Not knowing that she was mad at me for replying her that way. Because, you know, in the civil service, you when you are a junior staff, you don't need, you don't have to oppose any kind of order given to you. So I was like, I did that, and later I went to the, I went to do the photocopies, and later in the day I went to the principal and I told him what happened. He told me, look, be patient. The first time I reported the situation in the office to him, he told me, look, be patient. These guys, I mean, the two chiefs, they are going on pension, so it's just a year. Just so be careful, be patient, and so on. Then the next time, they said, this time around, he told me, look, I'll organize a reunion, so that I will organize a meeting, so that we will talk about it. And so he organized that meeting. All I just noticed that during that meeting, this woman just stood up and told them I had a problem with women. I was like,
oh yeah, I figured.
I was like, I have a problem with women. I asked the principal if I could reply her. He said, go on. I said, look, I don't know where you get this from. I don't have any problem with women. Most of my friends outside here, they are women. And that's true. So I don't have any problem with me. I don't understand where you get this from. But not knowing what that implied. So all I just noticed was that after that meeting, I just saw people following me, monitoring me everywhere, from home to the work, from work to home, even when I'm not working, from when I was going to church, from home to the church, from home to my sister's place. My sister lives in France. And I was like, what's happening? So the first person I told was my sister. She didn't. If I couldn't understand, I can understand she did not understand it. Even up to this moment I'm talking to you, I don't think my sister really understands what's really happening. Then I told one of my let's say family friend that I live in the same building with him and we attend the same church. I told him, and not knowing that this is the same guy they were going to use against me, all of a sudden all I just noticed was that this guy just stopped. We are living in the same. I'm on the first floor. Mm-hmm. He's on the fourth floor. So every time he goes out, every time he comes in, he will always knock at my door. And if he doesn't knock, I can feel he's coming in through his footsteps on the staircase. So I know when he's coming in. So I just realized he disappeared for about 2 years. For about 2 years, whereas we were living in the same building. And he was the one that was giving them information about me. What I just noticed was that they just decided to deal with me.
Isolate you.
Thank you. Isolate me. I don't have much friends. But the few ones I have, like I'm into music. I have a friend and some of my church members that will come to my place. We do songs sometimes. So I just realized they just scared every one of them away, one after the other. And this guy, the same thing, away for about 2 years. And one day, I ran into him, and I think he came to my place. And I asked him, look, you, I told you something was happening to me and you just disappeared, you don't even bother. He said, he just shouted at me. Why do you? I said, okay, if you think I'm the one just overthinking, no problem. I leave him. Sometimes later he came back with a bottle of wine. He said, okay, please, I apologize for what. I said, okay. I took the bottle of wine. Actually, I will explain why the bottle of wine later. What happened was that during this period, they lodged one person at my immediate neighbor upstairs. His job is just to complicate my life. They hacked my phone, hacked my computers, hacked my TV, and were controlling it from outside. Everything I do inside, they were controlling it. And my, I will tell my sister, look, this is what you have. My sister will say, don't think about it. Don't think about it. I said, but something is present in my life for 24 to 7. And you say, don't think about it. And they even went to the extent of stopping me from working.
Oh.
Like if I should apply for jobs, like on my job search site, the person upstairs will be blocking my my connection into the application. So I was like, what is happening? Look, let me tell you, I can understand nobody understands it, because even me, that it happened, it's happening to. It took me more than 4 months before I could realize what is really happening to me. Like, I have, there is a program on the French TV. Like, I listen to debates and about societal debates a lot. So, and there is this program, it's a kind of talk show. And they were discussing about how the French government handles terrorism. So I just listened, and one of the criteria, actually, I learned from that program that the French government has given the every direction of schools in France, they've given them the directive that anybody, if they notice any of the students that have changed the way his lifestyle or her lifestyle, like, you know, when they want to radicalize, they say, okay, they are radicalized through internet. So they would start changing, maybe, like for girls, they would start wearing scarves. And for boys, they will...
I get it.
They won't be able to shake hands with ladies and all those things. So I think when I gathered those criteriums together, it brought me back to what the woman said at the meeting, that I had a problem with women. I said, oh.
But, you know, in my head, I'm thinking maybe you've gone there without your Nigerian attitude of, you know, I'm a man in Africa. Women don't talk when we breathe. And then she's like, oh, you're in a free nation. We're taking you out.
Not really.
Are you sure? Not really. You've probably gone there to go on swag for her. And she's like, no, you're an idiot and you don't belong here.
No, let me respond to that. Not really, because this woman, she's a black woman first. She's from Ivory Coast. I guess she has French nationality, but originated from Africa. Now, everywhere I work in France, since I've been there, I've always respected people I work with. That's my nature. If you don't disrespect me, I don't have any reason to do that for you.
Yeah, so I feel like maybe her tone set you off and then you spoke to her rudely in a country where women have a whole lot to say.
Not really. Actually,
I just
replied her. But what I understand later was, okay, I think every one of the colleagues in the school joined hands to support her for one reason. A kind of collegiality. I don't know if you know the solidarity. Okay,
yeah, I get it.
Like, she's a permanent staff. I'm just a temporary or something. My contract is just renewable one every year.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So I think that was why they just decided to deal with me.
Yeah, so, but that cannot be all of it. Is there more? Maybe like they don't like you for some reason, because this is like the whole office ganging up against you.
Yes, possibly she doesn't like me, and I don't. I cannot even tell you why.
Why is this possible?
Initially, when I got there, I noticed this woman kind of running her mouth about, even to me, about one of my colleagues that was very close to her, that was working with her. She's my colleague, but she's always in her office working with her. And this lady would disclose her secrets to her. But when the lady is away, she will tell me everything, and she will be laughing at her.
Yeah. Okay. So just so that we can move along real quick. Mm-hmm. Now, given the way the French government started to monitor you and limit your access to some social opportunities, you had to leave. Is that why you left?
No, not really. Actually, after having tried every possible best to go to take this treatment, kind of, to me, I call it persecution.
Mm-hmm.
After trying everything to take it to justice, I consulted lawyers, you know, when I called for your an appointment, before I get there, they will discourage the lawyer not to take my case. So or to take it, but yes, actually, it was then I started trying to find out what is really happening. I later realized during that period of, I think it was between 2016 and 2017, the French government, the French parliament made a law purposely for that, for those young students getting into radicalization, Islamic something. They made a law for that. And that law, actually, the basis of that law is it removes every right you have.
Oh, I see. Okay.
You don't have right to anything, lawyer or whatever, to defend your case. You don't have any rights. I discovered that. Another thing is this. I discovered, up till I'm speaking to you now, nobody has ever come to me to tell me, look, this is what you've done. This is
so
what.
So why did you leave, or what made you leave?
Okay, like I told you, it started 2017, November 2017, and after 2 years, you know, later came COVID. COVID. Before COVID, I wasn't going out. I didn't go anywhere. I only go out just to do my shoppings and go back home. Or I go to my sister's every weekend. And after that, when COVID came, we couldn't go out for about 2 years again. So,
how were you getting money? You had access to your bank account. So how were you getting money? You say you weren't working.
Fortunately for me, I'm a kind of very cautious person in terms of monetary something. My salary, I save a lot.
So you were living on your savings? Is that what this is? You were living on your savings?
You won't believe me. Up to this moment I'm talking to you, I'm still living on my savings.
Okay, good. So let's move along. Now, why did you leave? Let's get to that.
Okay. So after COVID, you know, we were locked down for 2 years. And I couldn't, you know, I just felt I was out of breath. I couldn't do any sporting activities anymore. I was isolated. Anywhere I go, people would be following me around. So I just decided, okay, let me just maybe to change my environment. Let me go to Nigeria for some time, and maybe. And even my sister had been suggesting that to me. And I said, okay, let me just stay. I would have came before, but I got to know that my passport had expired, so I had to go to the embassy to renew my passport. I did that. The question you would ask me later: why didn't you tell the embassy? The Nigerian embassy.
So what happened?
I didn't, because I know they won't. They won't do any. You know, that's what, when I listen to you.
When did you come to the country? When did you come into Nigeria?
June last year.
And you're not going back to France, basically.
I'm free to go back. I don't have any problem in going back. The only thing is, I came to do something. And actually, let me.
But if the government keeps treating you that way, and you don't have legal access to get a lawyer to defend you, to give you access to jobs, very soon you're going to run out of savings. So what are you going to do?
Do you know, I've been trying to get a job here, but they followed me here. That is the problem. So every effort I make, they try to.
The French government is also monitoring you in Nigeria?
Yes. That's why actually, and they are using my family. That's the problem.
They're using your family.
Look, you won't believe me. Like, as of now, I stay at my brother's.
But place. I don't think that's how it worked. I think they would have called you at some point to interrogate you, or maybe said something. Like, someone has to say something.
Thank you. I was expecting. Okay, at least maybe somebody would tell me something.
Okay, you know what? If they don't have anything on you, and you say they're monitoring you here in Nigeria, doesn't mean you're going to remain in Nigeria now.
Does it mean
you're going to remain in Nigeria? Because maybe they're monitoring you to find something on you. And you know, like the FBI, I don't know what the French government have. The security could take a long time to discover, pin you down to something, or pin something on you.
Yeah, Possibly. But the only thing is this. How can you continue to persecute somebody for more than 5 years?
So let me ask you, are you going to go back to France or stay here? And if you say they're using your family to monitor you, what does that mean?
Look, I stay with my brother. I told you the last time my brother stays in England. You remember?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm at his home.
Tell me how they use your brother. Let's just get to that because I've given you so much time. I want to give other people.
Yeah, I understand. I still have the intention of going back to France.
How do they use your brother against you? How do they use your brother to monitor you?
Actually, I told you they prepared something grand for me. They prepared me for a marriage or something like that.
Uh-huh.
I just came in. Before I came, actually, my brother's daughter, second born, she called me for the first time. I was in France, and my brother came back on holiday, I think 2 years ago. And she called me. She said, uncle, I have a lady for you, a classmate of mine that I think she's interested. I've never complained. I've never told her, look, this is this.
French government, though.
That's why I said they are using my family.
How is the French government using your brother to give you a wife?
Let me explain. Okay, you know, the same process.
We have one more minute. You have to really hit the story because it's...
Like, for the past 4 years in France, they've been pushing ladies to me everywhere I go.
No. What do you mean the French government is pushing ladies to you to marry?
Not to marry.
To do what? To seduce you.
Kind of. Everywhere I go. Everywhere I go. Even if they will push ladies to me to seduce me. The same thing happens there. And it has been happening since my arrival.
Oh, dear.
A neighbor of my brother called me one day. A neighbor of my brother, I've never told my story. He called me one day. He said, I want to see you. I said, why? I don't understand. I went to him and he told me, look, I've been thinking of, I just think I want to talk to you about maybe you getting married.
How old are you?
I'm 53 years.
Have you ever been married?
Yes.
And it didn't work out? Or you're
it
still?
It didn't work out. And
so why do you think the French government cares if you want to be a married man or a single guy?
I just don't know.
Okay, you're paranoid. Wait, stop. You're losing. You have lost your mind. Because
okay.
You can't be accusing if you tell us the terrorism part, I get it. But if you say that the government is trying to get your wife, it's like...
No, look, I'm not saying the government is trying to get me a wife because I don't see the interest of the government in getting me a wife. I'm not saying that. But what I know is this. My senior brother has been telling me for a long time, even before then.
You're 53. That's something that they would say to you. You're 53, you need a wife. Okay.
Yes. Not only he has been saying that, and I've told him several times, look, I will get a wife whenever I'm in the situation, in the
All
position.
Right.
I'm not against it. Don't get me wrong. But the only thing is, they are giving me pressure, and I don't succumb to pressure.
It's all right. That's not the French government. Okay, so you're not going back to France, though, right?
Because I'm going back. I will go back.
All right. But you're not going to get a job because they're not going to allow you to get a job.
They are not going to allow me to get a job yet. They just want to frustrate my stay here in order for me to rush back to France.
Stop. That's ridiculous. What do you mean they want to frustrate your stay here? Okay, you know what? Thank you for your confession. No, it is so crazy. It's not properly laid out. So I don't get it.
I can understand you don't get it. But what I know is this. I've been trying some projects since, and they've been trying to frustrate
me. I mean, at this point, it could even be the witches from your father's house. This is not the French government. Okay. Well, I wish you the best. I don't know what you're going to end up determining to do, whether I go back to France or stay in Nigeria or go to another country.
I will go back. I will go back. Like, I came. If I had something hidden, or maybe I did a kind of crime, something. Do you know the French government wouldn't have let me out of the country?
Okay, so you're going to go back even though you're not going to be able to find a job.
I'm going to go back, but anyway, it will be on my terms and not on anybody's terms. That's just...
You're
going
to go to a sovereign nation and then give them terms?
No, why?
You know what? Thank you for calling. I have to let other people speak.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling. I don't see how... You're not even French. And even if you were French, you wouldn't give your nation terms. Okay. Oh, that was... Well, thank you very much for calling. I really hope that whatever's chasing you has clothes on, because at least that way you can identify it. Hello, how are you? Confessions
Thursday. Good afternoon.
Welcome to Nigeria Info. It's Confessions Thursday. Turn up the volume of your radio set.
Yeah, I'm not afraid to be here. I just want to comment about this last caller.
Yeah, 1 minute. Go ahead.
In fact, what they told him there over in the fight is true of what he's saying. It's true of him. So why is he not married up to 50-something years? That he has a problem with the woman, for sure. He has a problem. So they were giving him time up to this moment is wrong. I don't expect you have given him enough time like this.
So what is the issue here that you didn't? I gave him too much time, or?
Yes, you gave him too much time.
Well,
there's no point in what has been saying.
Yeah, but you only concluded that after he finished the story. You couldn't have made that up if you didn't listen to the story. So one of us is either going to agree that it is a right thing to do or not a right thing to do.
Yeah, I understand that. But,
all right.
But the problem is he has a problem as they initially told you.
Thank you. Hello, welcome. How are you? Make it back. Hey, hi.
Hello.
Welcome. It's Confessions Thursday. Do you have a confession? Hello, can you hear me? Make it back. Nigeria Info is Confessions Thursday.
Hello, Jerry.
Afternoon to you. Thank you very much for calling.
A quick one. My name is Yemi.
Thank
from
you.
Alimo Show.
Good to have you.
I've been listening to your program for some months. When I started listening to your program, I love the program.
Hello, go ahead. Confessions Thursday, how are you? The volume of your radio set.
Afternoon, Joyce.
Afternoon to you.
Yeah, about the first guy who called on the show, which kind of person is he? According to the story he said, that is the first guy. He said he had two times experience. Only you. And you are going for the third one. And then you are complaining when you are not a virgin. It's funny, you. Then this other guy who called last, I don't think it's the French government teasing him, according to what you said. It's like maybe he's from Edo State, this which is of a thing.
Why is it Edo State? There are witches everywhere. There are witches in England. There are witches in America. There are witches in Italy. There are witches everywhere. Confessions Thursday.
Hello?
Welcome. Good afternoon to you. It's Confessions Thursday. Do you have a confession? How are you? Good afternoon to you. How are you? Sorry, I lost you. 0700-993-993-993-993-01-465-7190. Confessions Thursday.
Hello, Joyce.
Welcome. Confessions Thursday.
I want to reveal, I don't know, I'm not confessing.
1 minute.
The last guy that spoke. Are you with me?
Go ahead.
Just like the last caller said, he might not be from Edo. He's somebody from his village that is chasing him. He has nothing. Thank you.
Hello, welcome. Confessions. The volume of your radio set. Hello.
Hello, good afternoon, Joyce.
Yes, I'm with you.
Yeah. I want to talk about the first caller.
1 minute.
I think there are more important things that guy should look out for in a woman than looking out for a virgin that he will be virgin and making complaints when he himself is not a virgin. That one is nonsense now. Even when somebody is not a virgin, you can come out and say, okay, I don't want to sleep with a man again until I get married. So why is he bothered about being a virgin or not? You should look out for good qualities in a woman that will make two of them compatible. Thank you.
Confessions Thursday. Hello.
Hello, Jay.
Welcome. It's Confessions Thursday. Do you have a confession?
Thank you very much. That French returnee.
Mm-hmm.
His problem is highly spiritual. I mean, highly spiritual. Thank God he himself understands. In some point, he understands that spiritual is spiritual. Just spiritual. Let him take care of himself. He's too spiritual. The way all the things is, nobody's monitoring him. No French government is monitoring that man. No French government is monitoring him. Thank you.
Hello, it's Confessions Thursday. It's good to have you.
Hello, afternoon, Joyce. Good afternoon.
Afternoon to you. It's Confessions Thursday. Do you have a confession?
Yeah. My comment on the first guy, I think he's done himself some injustice by trying to judge this current girl he wants to settle down with. So I think he has to
marry. Your line
and if he still loves her, he should please go to her and talk things over.
All right.
Then for the second guy,
30 seconds.
We shouldn't just think that. I think he's already losing his mind, and this is a case of a mental illness. I think he should be directed to the appropriate quarters. Maybe get a psychologist who can look into his mind and try to figure out what's happening. I don't think you should just leave him alone.
Wait, child. What do you mean? You don't think I should leave him? Am I his mommy?
You are not, but he came to you. He chose to call you.
Yeah, but advice. I'm not a psychiatrist.
Yeah, but you can.
You are a Nigerian. You can help me. No, don't make it my responsibility. You can help him. Why are you there? Yeah,
that's why he called your
yeah,
number.
You also called me. It's not a burden that I should bear alone. He called. You heard the story. You can help if you think that there's a problem. Don't tell me what
to
do. You can do
problem.
It since you know
yes,
what to do.
Problem.
Right.
But you're not going to give us his number. If you do, we'll look around and see.
I don't have his number. He can call and say he wants to give. I don't own the man.
Well, I think the guy has a mental illness. I think he should be supported. Maybe other callers who I've heard too who can assist can also help. If you give them the contact.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Confessions Thursday. Welcome. Hello, Nigeria Info, you on the Sony side?
Hello, good afternoon, Josh.
Good to have you. Confessions Thursday. Do you have a confession?
I don't have a confession.
1 minute.
It's about the guy who said he married a virgin and at a point after giving birth to 4 children, the wife is behaving. I think the best thing he has to do is to have a conversation with the wife. You know, most times when people feel like the first caller who felt marrying virgin or just running virgins are the best thing to do. I think that guy should have a discussion with the wife. If the wife believes there are things he's not doing that she discovered she needs to explore, after exhausting on a very serious conversation and they don't find their way, I think they can go their both ways than trying to be entrapped in a marriage that doesn't navigate the best of the future. Thank you very much.
Sure. Confessions Thursday, 99.3 Nigeria Info, 0700-993-993-993, 01465-7190 Nigeria Info. My name's Joyce. Hello.
Hello.
Confessions Thursday, do you have a confession?
Yep.
Go ahead.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. Go ahead.
Okay, so my confession is this. I really do not know what to do because I felt like I want to take a decision that might not really... Can you hear me?
I'm listening. Go ahead.
Yeah. That might not really go down well with maybe my partner or something. Okay, so this is the story. So apparently I've been married for about, say, this year will make it the 3 years already. And every time, like, I feel like she's the kind of person that is domineering, you know, domineering in such a way that she really wants to take credit for almost everything, you know, things like we do, even the kids, you know, everything, you know, because as somebody that has a partner, you want to, you know, allow your partner assist you in virtually everything. But I feel like she's the kind of person that wants to take the glory for everything, and it annoys me because it's not the fact that she takes it, but the fact that she expresses it and tells almost everybody. You know, for example, let me just put it straight. For example, let's say, okay, the last issue we had was the rent. Okay, so our rent was $950K. You know, so at that point in time, that was in January. I was supposed to pay in January. At that point in time, I had $830. I think 8:30 is there about. So she was like, okay, she was going to bring 150, so I should pay 800. So that to make it 950. So she did it and she paid. This was the recent one. So in February we paid, I gave her the 800. She added 150, and then she paid 950. But so my greatest surprise, end of last month, the brother called me, and the brother was like, "Why am I making the sister pay for virtually everything in the house?" And I said, "Like, what are the everything?" And he said, "She said she paid the house rent." I was like, "Whoa!" Like, she said that because I was not really surprised, because it's something she has always been doing.
Yeah.
You know, even in terms of everything in the house. Maybe let's say she, I do have virtually everything, but maybe something like light bill of 3K, maybe the DSTV runs out, she quickly pays it, of which I will still refund later. She would, you know, it would, everybody will know that she has done something.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, recently I decided to, you know, make her stop doing virtually everything. Like, and she does nothing right now. Like, she does absolutely nothing. And, still, it's now it's becoming a big deal to me, because I'm unable, you know, to do everything, because I just want to, you know, take that I feel so pain right now talking about it, because I just want to take that issue off. But even this has been happening even before the marriage, like everything we did, even during the marriage, everything. I knew that I contributed more than 80%, but everybody that hears this, and I don't talk. So when they talk, I don't even know how to reply, because I don't know how to start telling somebody that no, she didn't do. I was the one. It's crazy, you know.
It is.
So when they talk, I just keep quiet, and everybody makes it look like okay, is it? So my own parents also. So it makes it look like I'm not really doing anything, or I'm not doing enough, you know. It's really disheartening to hear that. So I'm thinking of taking this maybe drastic decision. And the decision is maybe I should just, you know, hands off everything and allow her now do everything, since she wants to do everything. Hands off everything, take my hands off everything, and so that when people hear it outside, and when people talk about it outside, when they say, okay, she didn't do anything, I will be justified that, okay, yes, I can boldly say, yes, I did not do. You get?
Yeah.
And then she's the one doing it. So I don't know, because I know that, and the truth of the matter is, she earns more than me. But I don't care. Even I don't even know the salary. I don't even know her exact salary, because I don't have anything to do with it. But the fact that I can't even remember the last time I even bought a clothes for myself, like a clothes that I'm gonna wear for myself, because we have a lot of things I am doing personally as projects. Mm-hmm. So they take everything, and in the family also takes everything. I try to make everybody feel comfortable, the kids, herself, everybody, and that's why it's making me look. But I don't care. But the fact that I do a lot, and then it's now like I do nothing.
Yeah.
You know, to me personally, I feel so hot. I feel so pinned. I feel so like. Two days ago, we had a very, very, very heated argument, because I was talking to her about it, and then she's this kind of person that she doesn't want. She's not always wrong. She's always right. Uh-huh. Like, she wants to be in the right. She's always right. So when you talk to her about something, it's not as if you are condemning her. You want to bring her down. You don't. You know. She just wants to be right. So I because it was really paining me.
Yeah.
And when I called, I said, "I see what your brother told me. I really do not like it. Why would you go and say that kind of thing? This and that." Because that day I went to see the guy, the brother. I wanted to bring out screenshots. Like, I wanted to bring out like my statement of account to see the money I've been giving, and the one I even gave like every month. I keep everything, but I didn't want to do it, because like as a man, I still wanted to protect her as a wife. You get? So I just didn't do it. I just kept quiet, and he advised me. He said, "I shouldn't let the pressure be on her." I said, "Okay, sir, I would adjust. I'm sorry, sir." And I left. But I was talking to her that 2 days ago, and she was like, "No, this is the 150K she dropped. Is it not money? I was like, "It's not about the last one. You've been doing this consistently, and it is not nice. It's not fair."
Okay.
So I'm trying. I've decided that I would leave everything, so that okay, when she does everything, I would know that okay, yes, my conscience will judge me that I did not do anything.
Well, I don't know that that's the best idea. One. You do not surrender to someone whose intent already is to subjugate you. Do you understand that?
Yes.
if she wants to already humiliate you, you don't give it to her. You don't allow her to humiliate you. So it means that if you say, well, I'm not going to pay anything so she can pay it, well, it puts you in a worse off position than you already are right now. She already wants to make you look like you're not handling your responsibilities and she's the one handling it. And then you give it to her on a platter like, oh, yeah, you go do it. First of all, your marriage is going to end sooner than you know it. Two, I think that it would make you even, you put yourself voluntarily in a weaker position. This is what I would say that you do. And you don't have to take my opinion if in the event of you're considering it, you think your opinion is better, right? So you do what you know you can stand by or defend. I think you should continue to do what you do. But given that she likes to take the glory for it and she wants to diminish you from that picture, every time you're paying for something, I don't know how that arrangement is going to work, but you need to make her sign something. Like, say, we're paying for this and you are paying for that, and this is a document you're going to have to sign.
Okay.
It's a little stressful, but you see, if you make her sign it, I think psychologically does something to her. You see, when she tells someone, I paid the rent, well, she can say, well, look at my bank account. I paid $950. So you are left with trying to defend that, oh, the $800 and the $950 is my money. But if I think you should make her sign it. I think you should, because I think that way it draws her into the situation that she has now created, which is, I don't earn as much as you do, but I'm willing to handle my responsibilities. But given the fact that you think I'm not in the picture, well, here is what we are left with. If I'm bringing $800, here is the document. You have to now start to document things. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not good for your marriage, but that's where you are. I would have told you, had it been you had not married her, to not be married to someone like that. You don't marry someone who diminishes you. There are no conditions under which that is an option for unity or union. You don't marry anyone who diminishes you, who talks you out, who talks you down. You don't marry. You don't even be friends with those people. How much more sleep with them? So you've already done the deed. So it's like, how are you going to survive it? Make her sign. Every time she brings something, let her sign. It now looks like a partnership of a sort, but that's exactly what you have. Because if a wife is earning more than you and she has to bring $150 to $800, I don't see why she's talking about it. I don't know why that's even a conversation. She earns more and all she has to do is bring $150 to $800. Like, why is that a conversation? Why is she talking? What's there to talk about? Besides the fact that she doesn't love you. And left to her, I don't know why she's in that union. But for whatever reason, you don't have the best situation. So make her sign it. So at least anywhere she goes and tells anybody, I paid rent, then you can just forward. You don't even have to show up in person. Just forward them the screenshots of the documents that she signed.
Okay.
I think she might not want to do it, but make her do it. Say, I want you to take the credit. Like, if you give $150 to $800, and you want people to know you did it, I don't have a problem with that. So what that does is, the moment she signs it, she tells people one version of the story, you give them another version, then she has to go defend herself. But that's not a marriage. I think, I don't know, but no, if you can come out.
But that's what we're left with, honestly.
Yeah, that's what you're left with.
That's like, what we're left with. I can't keep doing this.
Yeah.
Each time I try to, I just cover the issue, protect it, but deep down, I'm not feeling comfortable with it.
I think it also diminishes, it makes you small. She's trying to, and it's terrible that it's the person you're married to that makes you small. It's horrible. It's like what the devil will do to a slave it catches. Make you small, humiliate you. So make her sign. If she brings 100 naira, you bring 2 naira, let her sign. If you bring 100 naira, she brings 150 kobo, let her sign. Now let her sign everything. So in case she goes somewhere and she tries to rubbish you there, you just send them screenshot. See, oh, this is, I brought 5 naira, she brought 15 naira, but I brought, and she signed. It's crazy, but yeah.
Thank you.
I would think that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hello, Confessions Thursday.
Yes, hello, good afternoon.
Afternoon to you. It's Confessions Thursday on Nigeria Info. Do you have a confession?
No.
1 minute.
I just want to quickly make a comment about the French returnee.
1 minute.
Yes. Like, all I can just say is that you should try as much as possible to seek counseling. I believe he has a problem with paranoia. So you should try and seek counseling.
All right.
And it was also good for you to allow us to listen to the whole story. Having listened to the whole story, you were able to better judge what was wrong. So this is all I have to say.
Yeah. Thank you very much for calling. I do appreciate it. Nigeria Info, the Sunny Side. Confessions Thursday on 99.3 Nigeria Info. The Sunny Side. Welcome if you have just tuned in, 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190. And I'm live streaming on Instagram. I, Joyce Unyemowa, on Instagram. Hello, good afternoon to you. The volume of your radio set.
All right. You just give me 1 minute for this last confessor. And the last one is just confessor.
Turn off the volume of your radio set. You never forget that. Hello, Nigeria Info, Confessions Thursday.
Hello, good afternoon, Joyce.
Good to have you.
I want to talk about the last speaker.
1 minute.
Yeah. For me, I think the man should not hide anything from the woman's family again, since it has gone to the extent of them calling him to confront him.
Mm-hmm.
So he should be open to them, because from that, they will start disrespecting him and start talking to him anyhow. I think that is the best thing he can do, to clear himself up. Thank you.
Now he needs screenshots. Now he needs what you call that? Receipts. Confessions Thursday.
Hello, Joy.
Good to have you. Thank you for calling. Confessions Thursday.
Just a minute for the last caller.
Go ahead. 1 minute.
I don't know if signing documents won't be a bit confrontational. I would have said, since the monetary transaction, they could do transfers. The woman won't be able to suspect. He had the 800 and whatever, and the woman only had 100 and whatever. So I don't know why the woman couldn't give him the money to pay. And even if she had to pay, he should just transfer into the woman's account. And those will be evidences in future.
Well, yeah, thank you. I guess he transferred into her account and she paid, according to the story he told us. But what is clear, however, it's not the money that's the problem. Her ego is the problem. So you'll have to deal with her ego. It's not the money. It's not that she paid $950 that's the problem. It's that she's diminishing the guy to stand over his existence. And it's funny because I don't know whether she realizes that if you earn more, you should pay a little more. But he's not even asked, at least from his gist, he's not asking her to pay more. So where necessary, he's expecting at least that she would contribute. And if she's contributing $150 to $800,000 and she's making a musical out of it, she should sign papers. So anywhere she just goes, if she goes to the church choir and is like, "That's my husband, he's trying, but I'm the one paying the bills." Once the guy hears it from the person whom he heard it from, he'll send them signed document. So at least transfer can be, you gave your wife $800 to open shop or to go shop for herself and go on holiday. But if she signs a document, then that's a whole different ball of wax. Yeah. Hello. How are you? Confessions Thursday. Do you have a confession?
No, good afternoon.
Confessions Thursday. Afternoon, do you have a confession?
No, I don't have a confession.
1 minute.
I want to talk to the last confession guy.
55 seconds.
Okay. When they are, to me, maybe they should make their contribution in a tangible form, like that house rent. Minimum of, I think house rent is yearly, a minimum. You can sit towards it and single-handedly handle it. If you want to handle house rent, let her know that you are handling it. If it is cable subscription she wants to handle, give it to her. Let her pay fully for it. By the time you are joining money to settle an expense, you know she will still claim it.
Okay.
But you can, maybe they can share it. You do this. Let me do this.
All right.
To me.
That's an idea. Hello. We have, let's see. No, it's not enough time to take a confession. We'll go off on a break and come back. When we come back, confessions continues. It's about 30 seconds, and then we're off on a break. This is Nigeria Info. My name's Joyce.
On Confessions Thursday, we open the cupboards to secrets.
99.3 Nigeria Info, that's on your side. I'm live streaming on Instagram. I, Joyce Onyemoa, on Instagram, and you're here.
Welcome.
Afternoon to you. Thank you for calling. Do you have a confession?
No, I don't have a confession.
You have a minute on the call. Sure.
About it,
which one now?
That good or bad is your wife not contributing enough.
Okay, 1 minute.
Yeah. I'm married over 10 years now. I don't even know how much my wife can.
Okay.
But as a man, I know the responsibility of a family laid on me.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes my wife do work, uh-huh. But I didn't know how much she earned. So sometimes I do come to the house, you know, hopefully that maybe I may eat a bar or maybe rice. Probably I may sell something that she had cooked with her mommy.
Yeah.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Then, seeing all this, so sometimes I won't be around or children may develop a headache or cough or whatever.
Yeah.
She won't even come on phone. She will bought with her mommy. I can remember the last that she asked me money for joy for the children. You understand?
Okay.
So I don't complain. I don't even go ahead to know how much she up to. I'm telling you sincerity.
Okay.
You understand?
So,
but seeing all those things, I didn't complain about her. I don't even bother to know how much you earn or how much are you in your account.
So what do you want to say to the guy?
So what I want to say is this. Any woman that will be married to a man who are not sincere to the family, knowing fully well that this is family you are being bought, and you work and you earn a salary without any bringing any food in the table, the woman is not doing well. I think she doesn't deserve that family. But a man must be sincere to his family, not be corny or try not to be eager to work or to provide for the family.
So, no, pardon me, you have to speak on the issue here because we don't want to waste time. The issue is his providing, he doesn't have enough. He doesn't earn as much as she does. So you're saying that he should do what now?
No, what I mean that this is a teamwork.
Yeah, but the woman is embarrassing him. So what should he do?
Well, I don't understand the question you showed up.
The woman is embarrassing him. Like you didn't hear the story.
Okay. No. I can't take that from my side. No.
Thank
Why
you
should I be
life.
Balanced? I will respect you to the all core. Then you have to respect me as a man. If you need, if you continue to embarrass me, which means it can't be under my roof. No matter how glorified you may think you are, you
okay.
Go out. You can go out, and I can live with you. Fast.
Thank you. That was quite a summary. All right. So some Nigerian men, this thing about respect for me as a man, you respect everything that you meet on earth. You didn't create anything. So when you come into earth, you respect things. Respect is not the preserve of men. Respect is for anyone whom you should have regard for, from plants to humans. And I think Nigerian men tend to assume that, well, we have a right to claim respect. You respect your wife. You must respect your wife. And she should respect you. It's not your preserve. And so you can demand it as though it is a birthright. It's not, particularly if you're undeserving. But of course, if she's a person of honor and dignity, she would respect you. So I needed to put that out because the last caller said, you know, you respect me as a man. Nah, please stop. Don't say that. Respect is a necessity in life. It's not a preserve of one sex over the other. Off on a break. All right, 99.3 Nigeria Info, the sunny side. My name's Joyce, and to the guy who called in whose wife belittles him, I don't know that she's trying to do it deliberately, but I would just say from the conversation I get, it's her ego. She's trying to esteem herself, she's trying to esteem herself above. I wouldn't say she's trying to esteem herself above you as much as I would say that she has an ego problem. She's insecure. So insecure people will take any moment to want to be seen. Yeah, there's an inefficiency in them that if they can, they would take, if the stage was over a gutter, they would stand in the gutter just so that, yeah, they want the attention, even if it was the audience in hell looking at them. Like, they would take any form of regard. They'll take it from dogs if dogs would give it to them. So I wish you weren't married. Because this is hard. I have a message here from Nkem who says that guy will continue to be disparaged by the wife. She'll never stop. There's nothing the guy would do to redeem his image because she will not change. Let them review that marriage, which was something I said, but I was hoping not to be the one to ask you to consider a divorce. And you might say, well, this is probably not a divorceable situation. And you might have a point, like you might just be totally right. But I don't know how long this can continue. I don't know how much of you can tolerate this, because it would take for something close to a miracle or a miracle in itself for her to realize that her actions are evil. Like the actions are evil. And you see, this is what I tell you about arrogant people. The first, they become stupid. Because that's what arrogance does. It narrows your vision, so you only see the only things you're going to gain from the picture, and you don't realize how you're destroying yourself because you're a part of that picture. But the arrogance in your head would only allow you to see only that part where there's a stage for you to climb on, and then you don't realize you're losing an opportunity to probably have your family hold together. You might also be losing a good man. You might be losing an honest man. You might be losing a man whose time is going to come around. Like, there's too much at stake there. But yeah, you're too arrogant and too stupid to be able to think. And so because you're not thinking, you would continue until you destroy yourself. So I hope you can manage the situation. And I guess it's not just Nkem who's asking you to leave. Another guy, it's a lady, or there's another guy here, but I don't have a name. He's saying they should both seek counseling and weigh their decision on whether they are good together or apart. They should separate. My opinion, marriage shouldn't be endured, but enjoyed. This is Freke from Aja. Freke, you sent me a very lengthy message. I think I just needed to take the crux of your message. Thank you very much. You all have been an excellent piece of today's edition of Confessions Thursday. It makes a comeback next week on 99.3 Nigeria Info, the sunny side. My name's Joyce, and yeah, let's go to the Lords of Logic.
Where are the Lords? This is the Lords of Logic on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
I got a message here for the gentleman whose girlfriend, in his opinion, is not a virgin. Someone says, well, is he a vampire? If he wants blood, he should go to abattoir. Well, I thought that was funny, but I'm even hoping that he can begin to think. I would love... Look, this is from like one human to the other. I want you to begin to think. I think you're wasting your life's existence on stupid things. Like, I don't even understand how you're so concerned about virginity, but you admit that it adds nothing to you. So I would be hoping that the virginity is not the goal of your conversation. Instead, that both of you can reestablish trust in what you claim you have. Otherwise, you put it in a trash can, you go your way, and you let her go. Because there's really nothing here. Well, the messages are enormous. If there are any ones I leave to be worthy of radio conversation, I will go through the messages and capture those ones in hopes that sometime during the course of the week, we can extract them and review them as conversation on radio. My name's Joyce. Now time for the Lords of Logic.